How do the cars of yesteryear compare to today?
I don't feel I'm a very good judge of that anymore. I don't think I follow it that closely. I look at all these little Koreans, Japanese.
Like Kia, who would have thought?
Yeah. Well, there's good marketing. And I helped get Honda here. Talked to the guy in here. He was selling one a month. He called it the one-month cup. That's all they were selling, the Hondas, when I had Toyota.
Oh.
Made fun of them. Tolley was the money behind that. Tolley Artunov. It's a local guy.
Is there any race that you feel really good about? Great racing achievements.
Any that I finished and won are great.
Right. How about your favorite courses that you enjoyed the most?
I think I liked Elkhart Lake. I can't compare any of the others because most of them were on airport racing, flat. They were fun for me. They weren't fun for spectators.
The flats.
Mm-hmm. I did everything that I wanted to do with.
Was that 67 Corvette your most enjoyable car?
Well, I had a Lotus 20. Was a lot easier to drive. They call it the pencil. And I won the Pan American Championship, which was the last of the Formula Junior races over here. That was much more fun to drive. The Vette was a forgiving car. I mean, it was a safe car. The Europeans and all, they knew better than get in our way. The first woman sports car driver was Denise McCluggage. She hated us and tried to get us disqualified.
Who was she driving for?
Ferrari.
Ferrari.
Yeah, I think she was sleeping with old Enzio. She had pretty good equipment, but she was a horse otherwise. But the people that I got to associate with were just fine people. Guys, if you'd read some of their letters that I still get, some of them, the fact that they had an awful lot of money didn't mean anything. They were still bad people.
Yeah.
But most of them were just neat people.
And you retired, do you remember what year and how old you were?
Well, my last race was 1968. Half and I drove one Grand Touring in the 68 then.
How old were you when you retired from racing?
42.
42 years old. What made you retire then?
I'd done it all. Did what I wanted to. I did the same way about racing. I went to the races I wanted to.
You said you were an amateur, but you did get paid, didn't you, for this?
Mm-mm.
You mean you drove all those races? I don't know how many races. Do you have any idea how many races you drove? You don't, no.
No, but I'm sure Delmo was right on the 50 on that last year.
You mean you did all this driving and you were never paid?
Well, you'd have to qualify that in the fact that, for instance, I had a contract with Goodyear. Ran all their tires. That was a tremendous expense.
So you got paid for being endorsed by them?
Yeah, in a way, I guess. We've got some Lifetime magazines around here with Gulf Oil interviewing me. I did endorsements, but I did what I wanted to do, and if I didn't like it, I didn't do it. So not taking money for them.
You had a relationship with Firestone Tires.
Harvey.
Did you meet Harvey Firestone?
Mm-hmm. We got a picture here.
All right. And
well,
so
that's the Soapbox Derby when you met him.
That's clear back, yeah.
You met Harvey Firestone when you were driving Soapbox Derby?
Mm-hmm.
As a youngster?
Yes. It was the days when if your dad died, you wore a black band on your tailored suits and so forth like that. It's a good picture of him. They took good care of us. No, I never did anything for... It was a hobby.
But you were in the insurance business all this time. So you did have an income coming in.
Very good.
And you were able to balance insurance and car
mm-hmm.
racing?
Mm-hmm.
Because much of that was on the weekend, was it?
On the weekend.
Right. And then you'd come home and do your insurance.
Mm-hmm. You know, they'd fly and pick me up and fly me back. We had good equipment. So I was just pick and choose on anything I'd want to do.
There must have been those who wanted to make you a professional and sponsor you. You had probably many offers of that. You had to have, since you were winning all these races.
Well, I'd like to say that, but I don't think it was really that great. I didn't have many offers because I knew that I was going to take care of me first.
And maybe sponsorship wasn't that lucrative back then.
Oh, that's true, too.
They
didn't pay these guys. Endorsements, yes, I'm sure.
Right.
But I can't think of any of them until later years that really could make a decent living out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Hendrick, that has my 63 and 64 car, he also owns 600 Chevrolet dealerships in the country. I could call him and get his G5 and go someplace if I want to.
That 67 Corvette, where is that now? It's in a museum where?
It's on Long Island.
With Glenn Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever just buy a Corvette for personal use and drive around?
Or
did
they always gave me Corvettes.
Of course. Of course they would have. How stupid of me.
No, that's not stupid.
You had a Corvette most every year you wanted a...
Usually I had a street car and then the race cars were supplied.
Right, but they supplied your street car too.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some benefits that came along with this.
Oh, yeah.
And then you were really celebrated as this driver who won so many races. You must have made many personal appearances, maybe, and signing autographs and that.
Oh, yeah. You do that, and to this day, I answer probably 2 calls a week. Somebody's writing a book. I would think that they're out of material by now. But you get these calls.
There are so many little models now of the cars.
Yeah, the diecast became popular.
And they want those autographed. They send one in, and then we have to sign it and send it back, and they send us a dinner ticket.
Doesn't that make you feel good, though, that after all these years, you have not been forgotten in the racing community?
Sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course it does.
And then you called and came along.
Yeah. I mean, it's an honor to be picked out.